Zelengo, this is Kanati Kentaco. What you're about to hear is a Human Rights Radio exclusive presentation that was first aired Sunday, the sixth day of the first month of 2002 at 11:30 p.m. entitled The Human Rights Patrol, Part Number 37. There's Something Stinking and It's Abe Lincoln. Your host will be out of the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, runaway slave, Kaka Mbana Kentaco. Have a pleasant flight.
Our
Folks are still held hostage, won't ask questions, ruled by fear.
See, Uncle Sam does know he owes our folk a big time debt. He knows his lies can't help him, truth's our weapon, we'll collect. We're talking reparations, that's right, we know we are old.
Cause for 11 generations, in here we were bought in, so.
See, this crook called Sam did come up when he made our folks his slaves.
His posse did the same in Europe, and yes, they too must pay.
The lesson, the mind on thyself will help us all move forward.
We're taught it will teach us by self to rise to tote the torch.
Like those days we were to be down, yet unhooked from our souls.
Seeking truth will turn that around with the human rights patrol.
People's Choice, Human Rights Radio, giving praise to our uncreated creator for allowing us to be with you for our 4,583rd night of broadcasting, and in the place to be with we out of the criminal enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, as we're corresponding commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, co-producer of the Human Rights Radio Network, Internet co-creation we call the Human Rights Patrol, Dada, Kanata, Kentaco, and Zalango to your warrior.
Zalango.
Time for volume number
37.
37. Of course, you're keeping track of all that kind of stuff for us over here. Well, why don't you shout out to those stations that make it possible for so many folks around the criminal enterprise called the United States and around the planet Earth to hear the Human Rights Patrol.
First, let's say Zalango to Human Rights Radio 94.3 FM with Kaka Inko Yuhuru and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Decatur, Illinois, at 99.9 FM, Human Rights Radio, Brown by Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP, in the criminal enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California, with Kaka Michael Hibbett and the crew. And at 96.3 FM, in the criminal enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and their staff. Let us also shout out to the folks who listen to Berkeley Liberation Radio, brought by Paul Griffin and the crew. And at this time, let me remind you, wherever you're listening, to thank those who made it possible. And also, invite all of you to check us out on the real wide web at www.radio.about.com. Look for the Human Rights Information Network. Click on and hear even more Human Rights Radio.
That's right. And you know, those in the Human Rights Radio Network growing across the criminal enterprise called the United States and around the planet Earth, you know, we got this library full of information up here at Human Rights Radio in the criminal enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, 106.5 FM. And we'd be trying to put some of that off into some of the things we're sharing with you. Kanati's going to be black later on to remind y'all who makes it possible for y'all to hear the Human Rights Patrol all around the planet Earth at this point. And even growing, if you want to bring it to where you at, all you got to do is download it off that website there, www.radio.about.com. When the page opens up, click on the Human Rights Information Network. Anything you find up there that we use it any way you can, because it don't belong to us anyway. It's the creators, and we've considered it an honor to have had the opportunity to have some purpose for our existence in this existence. Dig on that. All right, today we're going to talk about this boy named Abraham Lincoln, not because we're from the criminal enterprise called Springfield. I ain't actually born here. My family, I was born in Memphis, Tennessee. And, of course, woke up one morning and probably, you know, and like, we're going to go get out of these hateful white people's town. We're going to go north. And, of course, you know, a lot of black people came to this town here at the criminal enterprise called Springfield because they said, hey, this is where Lincoln was. And we was all hooked up with that story about how Lincoln, you know, let us loose, you know, from a bad situation. I hope some of you had an opportunity from the last time we got together, the Human Rights Patrol, and looked up that article we talked about in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 9, Clause 1. I hope you look it up because that's very important. Because, again, what I was trying to stress is from the get-go, these folks that set up this country, they said basically anybody that want to posse up and go somewhere and steal some people and bring them here, enslave them, we'll cover for you. That's what that article basically say. Because when you start talking about importation, you say immigration and importation, no people get imported. Stock, livestock, animals, slaves get imported. People immigrate if they choose, hey, let's go over here and get beat down. Let's go get mopped like a floor. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure we was thinking about that in Africa. You know, hey, we ain't doing nothing. Let's go over here and get beat down. And, Africa had cities that were more technically and more advanced than what they got in this country right now, because this country ain't nothing but an illusion. You might got all the structures, but when it come down to the spiritual thing, ain't nothing happening up in here, man. It's like ain't even a, it never was an issue. So we're going to talk about this boy named Lincoln in the Civil War. I ain't going to get into my sister's book, I said Bakufu, Six Black Presidents, okay? Because that's the whole issue everybody got to resolve. That still don't change who we after and who we know causing all the suffering on the planet. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to deal with that. But check out her book, Six Black Presidents, Black Blood, White Mask, right? Check it out, because that boy Lincoln up in there, there's all kind of curious things about Lincoln that you should ask. One is, if he was absolutely Tommy Lincoln's even stepson, which he, that's the closest he could ever be, how come since the emancipation laws in this country was that a child could, emancipate, get out the house when they wanted to at 6 years old, how come he had to work for Tommy Lincoln until he was 21? And, the real is he was a slave. And the strategy of this kind of mankind crew has been from the days of dynastic Egypt to Greece to Rome. They don't care who they let sit on their throne, man. As long as you be bringing their program, they don't care. It doesn't matter. And so they had Tommy Lincoln on there. That's why he keep Tommy Lincoln's ex-slave on there as a president. That's why he'd be keeping that hat on, so you don't see that bush. You know what I'm saying? Now, we ain't claiming him, but it surely proves what we be screaming about, that there's this group that don't want folks to have the things they need to live, and they anti-human, and they will manifest in any form you can find them. Now, we're going to get them. We're going to get them eventually. We're working on it right now. We're going to talk about the Civil War, because a lot of folks are under the impression that it was a war fought to free African people from slavery. I thought it, too, and my family, probably like a lot of families, came to Springfield thinking it's going to be something decent, and it's the absolute opposite. If House Negroes suffer, we're going to prove one thing or another with House Negroes, and Springfield's a good place to start, because they had to do things with the mind to black people in this town to get them to go along with the crimes that they call America every day while, living here where they, pimping this Lincoln move. Well, two things. Either you House Negroes were absolutely, positively in on the scheme from the get-go with these Europeans, right? Or you are out of your mind absolutely. And there's no other reason for you not trying to change the circumstances. But let's go back and check on the Civil War. We won't put that out there, because we ain't trying to play with nobody no more. It's past time for that. And if you wouldn't have let them kill all the better, calmer, smoother talkers, you wouldn't have to listen to Brother Mbana. So that's your problem. All right, first of all, this boy Lincoln, the Civil War. They did not fight the Civil War to free African people. It was never an issue on that. Yeah, one group of whites making money and having to pay some of it out for labor, another group of whites making money and not having to pay none of it out for labor. Okay? So that was one squab going on. But the main squab was you had a situation. Well, let's deal with the issue. Because Brother Phil Valentine, metaphysicist brother, I can't say the word as good as he can run the science, but he bring it like this. Design denotes function. So let's look at the design of the Union Army, the size that was on the sides that's supposed to have been freeing us, right? This program comes from the Arts and Entertainment Channel. It's a whole hour and a half on stupid stuff about this boy Lincoln, but this piece is worth sampling. Check it out.
Lincoln moved quickly, calling up troops, suspending habeas corpus to arrest Southern sympathizers, and ordering the blockade of Southern ports.
Lincoln's attitude was firm and remarkably consistent throughout the Civil War. He said that secession was simply a myth. It was unconstitutional. The Union was older than the Constitution, and the Union was indissolvable.
On the question of slavery, Lincoln had to be careful. He did tell Congress that this was a struggle to elevate the condition of men. But Lincoln was careful not to make the abolition of slavery an official aim of the war. Four strategic border states, loyal to the Union, Missouri, Kentucky, Maryland, and Delaware still had slavery, and Lincoln could not afford to offend them.
Lincoln once said as a joke, "I hope to have God on my side, but I have to have Kentucky." He felt that if the loyal slave states joined the Confederacy, the Northern cause would be lost.
Now look, what'd he say? I hope God be with me, but I gotta have Kentucky with me. Now, you know, of course, being a dirty dealer like he is, that's why they popped him, you know, gave him that, played him like Steve Coakley said, that heavy metal song they be playing for folks they don't like too much up in this place, right? They put that on him because he was a dirty dealer. But, you know, the thing wasn't fought over slavery. It was not the issue because slavery is still going on right now. And though you don't want to hear it, all those amendments passed to the so-called Constitution was not passed to the Constitution of the United States of America. They were put on the Constitution of the United States. There is no seat in the criminal operation called the United Nations occupied by a nation that calls itself the United States. There is a seat occupied by a nation that calls itself the United States of America. Now, because there was martial law in effect, you know, in martial law, as G.W. Littlebush is telling y'all here in 2002, during martial law, during his presidential, you know, emperor's thing, you know, he can tell you anything he want to sell you, but it don't have to be. So whatever they said during the time of the Civil War or after that time until they seized the martial law, which never has ceased, if you read the Constitution carefully, right? It never has ceased. Whatever they tell you is a psych move. It's like, nah, it don't have to be. They can tell you anything they have to tell you to get the folks to act the way they want the folks to act according to the way they got their stuff wrote. I know. You don't want it to be that way. Too bad. Things are the way they are, and we can change them if we're willing to deal with that. Now, let's go on to the Civil War. Now, again, there was no real group of whites in favor of the war ending. Slavery ending. There were some groups of whites in business trying to compete against other groups of whites that didn't have to pay their labor. And they didn't think that was very fair. You know what I'm saying? So that was one group. But then you had another group of whites that didn't want it to end because, you know, they weren't getting paid no money anyway, okay? And the only work they was getting was the work that was killing them, you know? You need to go back and read about industrial Britain, man. I mean, they had them down bad. And they didn't change nothing when they came over here, man. And so when you think about all these skilled African crafts folks, because all the shops on the plantation were ran by Africans. Don't trip on that, you know? They didn't bring us here because we were savages, and everybody knows that's the biggest lie that was ever told. And anyway, if you was going to bring us here because we were savages, why didn't you go ahead and teach your civilized sons how to build a house? You know, that make more sense to me anyway. What would you do that for us for? I mean, what would we deserve all that love for? Well, anyhow, think about the white workers having now to compete with all those blacks that have a work ethic like you ain't never seen before. There wasn't nothing happening, man. So a lot of them, like in New York, they start fighting, man. We ain't going, man. We ain't fighting, let nobody. They wasn't with that. Read up on the New York draft riots.
By late 1862, the Civil War has been dragging on longer than anyone expected, and it isn't going well for the North. Union forces are making uncertain progress on the battlefield. It's a bloody conflict, draining the nation of resources and men. Support for the war is beginning to fade when Lincoln announces a startling new plan. He'll issue a presidential decree to free the slaves.
It was a military measure. It was not a moral imperative that motivated the Emancipation Proclamation. Lincoln's strategy in the Emancipation Proclamation was to destroy the economic foundation of the South.
The proclamation doesn't actually free all the slaves, only those who are in Confederate territory, some 3 million in all. It excludes nearly a million slaves in the border states loyal to the Union and in those areas under military occupation.
The significance of the Emancipation Proclamation is not simply in that act alone, but that it, for the first time, made emancipation officially the policy of the Union. So it really transformed the nature of the war. It meant that it was no longer a war of army against army, but of society against society, and that if the Union won, there was going to be a social revolution in the South.
For many in the North, however, news of the Emancipation Proclamation will further erode enthusiasm for the war.
Many Irish workers were not pleased, to say the least, with the Emancipation Proclamation because they feared that it would unleash a flood of black people into the North from the South to compete for jobs, to compete for housing. And now that the war's purpose had changed, they became very bitterly estranged from the Lincoln administration.
Many of them begin to feel as the cause of emancipation is more publicly pursued by the Lincoln administration, that they've been hoodwinked, that the cause that they were fighting for is shifting under their feet.
Meanwhile, the Union Army badly needs more men. Casualties and desertions have thinned the ranks, and fewer men are enlisting.
Now think about this. At this point, the South, filled with, you know, little hillbillies want to keep their little, you know, thing they got going on, right? Then you got their slaves who are out of their minds with trauma, fighting against these Union folks who starting to think about it. Now look, you know, you shoot a few of them like, hey, Patrick Henry and them was phony, so am I, I'm out of here, right? You know, they said they had no love for no fight for nothing like that. It wasn't that kind of a fight from the get-go. Because remember, Lincoln did not free slaves in the states that was on his side. The only reason the Union, the South had trouble was the South said, we want to do our own thing. And they said, like, nah, ain't nobody doing their own thing, boys. It ain't what we set this move up for. Everybody doing the King thing, like we said. Now, that program from the History Channel, it was called the Civil War Draft Riots. Gonna go back and sample that. Now, a couple things they got out that Civil War. One, they brung out the one money. We're gonna bring that forward in a few. But second, the draft. Now, it was so bad with the whites in the free folks in terms of getting them to fight on the side of the Union, they had to start paying them, man. They had to straight pay them. Straight cash. Now, you think back in 1850, you rent a house for $5, you got a sharp crib. You hear me? They was paying them cash $300 to sign up, man. Or let's, well, I ain't gonna say that. What did they actually do?
The federal government has set enlistment quotas for the states, and they do their best to meet the demand. Most states offer a cash bounty to encourage volunteers. A bonus of several hundred dollars can stimulate patriotism as well as greed.
There were people who made a profession of enlisting to get their bounty and then deserting to go to another location where they could pick up another bounty. American entrepreneurship.
But by early 1863, even cold, hard cash isn't enough of an incentive. On March 5th, Congress passes a Conscription Act. For the first time, the federal government will draft men into the Army. It's a controversial measure, inspiring heated debate, in part because it contains a loophole. Any draftee can be exempted if he pays $300 to the government or furnishes a hired substitute.
This was absolutely direct. If you had $300 in your pocket, you could get out of the draft. Now, in 1863, $300 was more than the average annual wage for a New York City laborer. So this conscription law seemed to be telling the ordinary laborers in no uncertain terms, well, from now on, this is going to be a rich man's war.
Like everyone they've had since then, you see the draft? That's how they broke the draft on these fools. Later, and then we're going to do a part two of this, and we're going to talk about, you know, what they actually, another move they brung out. You know, in Europe, on the 1st of 2002, according to the, you know, the European calendar, because, you know, everybody got, Chinese got a calendar, say it's 20-something. You know, the Muslims, they got a calendar where they say 5-something. The Hebrews say it's 4-something. The Cometans say it's 6-something, you know. So this ain't the only way to tell time, you know. But, you know, hey, you know how they are about you disagreeing with them, right? But the Europeans, they go into the euro, $1, okay? Not England, not Sweden, and not Denmark. Now, England ain't got to because they're going to hook up with y'all over here because y'all still like a commonwealth of the empire, you know, like Canada and all that. Yeah. Remember, the British beat down the Spanish, so really the British is, Mexico's a commonwealth of England as well. But before, we're going to talk about this in the next part, and I'm going to give you a brief, then you give you the tapes next time we get together. But In this country before the Civil War, and I know this might trip y'all, everybody that had property printed their own money. You know, everybody had property, printed their own money. And Civil War, they said, no more of that. One money. Let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. Kanati, going to call upon Kanati to help us get out of here. Let's see where she at. There is making her way in this place. Zalango to you.
Zalango.
Time for us to give a shout out to those stations around the criminal enterprise called the United States and around the planet that make it possible for so many to hear the Human Rights Patrol because they got nerve.
We're going to say Zalango to Human Rights Radio 94.3 FM with Kaka Inko Yahuru and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Decatur, Illinois, and 99.9 FM Human Rights Radio, run by Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM BVHP in the criminal enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California, with Kaka Michael Hibbett and a crew. And at 96.3 FM in the criminal enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and their staff. Let us also shout out to the folks who listen to Berkeley Liberation Radio, run by Paul Griffin and the crew. And at this time, let me remind you, wherever you're listening, to thank those who made it possible. And also invite all of you to check us out on the World Wide Web at www.radio.about.com. Look for the Human Rights Information Network. Click on and hear even more Human Rights Radio.
You know, it's kind of like our elders tell us, you know, you don't really know what's happening right now unless you know what has already happened. And hindsight's got to be 20/20. Use your hindsight. Get you some insight. Get you some pre-sight. Be hip, right? That's how we study up here at Human Rights Radio. All right, Warrior Kanati, going to thank you for that and remind y'all we got big-time library up in here to back up everything we got on tape through our African scholar researchers, television programs, interviews, articles, everything. That's our work up here at Human Rights Radio, to define and decode the phenomenon. Then we're going to make it act in a desired manner. We're in our 4,583rd night of broadcasting, volume number 37, that's what it is, of the Human Rights Radio Network co-creation we call the Human Rights Patrol. And we're at 106.5 FM here in the criminal enterprise called Springfield, Illinois. Something's stinking. It's Abe Lincoln. That's the title of this particular show. I'm in Bannerkin Taco, and you is listening to the people's choice, because the people chose to listen to the Human Rights Radio Network.
We will remember the humanity. Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
We will strive to bring new values.
We will strive to bring new values.
And new life to our people.
And new life to our people.
We will have peace and harmony among us.
We'll have peace and harmony among us.
We will be loving.
We'll be loving.
Sharing.
Sharing.
And creative.
And creative.
We will work.
We will work.
Study.
Study.
And listen.
And listen.
So we may learn.
So we may learn.
Learn so we may teach.
Learn so we may teach.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will struggle to resurrect.
And
unify our homeland.
And unify our homeland.
We will raise many children for our nation.
We will raise many children for our nation.
We will have discipline.
We'll have discipline.
Patience.
Devotion.
And courage.
And courage.
We will live as models.
We will live as models.
To provide new direction for our people.
To provide new direction for our people.
We will be free and self-determining.
We'll be free and self-determining.
We are African people.
We are African people.
Aluta.
Aluta.
Continua.
Continua.
Kufala.
Kufala.